I will remind you at the end of Mass, but I mention it now so that you draw into your prayers our Bishop Zaidan, who's in Lebanon this week because of the death of his mother. And so let us remember that family in our prayers. And then after Mass, on the table of the offerings, there are some sheets of our letterhead. And I would like for everyone to sign your name, maybe just a little brief note, and then I'll put a cover letter with it, and we'll send it to Bishop to receive our condolences when he returns. This wonderful story, which we know so well, comes immediately after an encounter with a blind beggar. It's always important to put these stories in their sequence and context. What Luke gives us is a stark contrast between someone who's poor, the blind beggar, and someone who's rich, Zacchaeus. Both of them get to see Jesus. Get that little piece, okay? The blind man gets his sight so he can see, and he wants to. He cries out, "I want to see." And then Zacchaeus climbs a tree to see Jesus. Now, one chapter earlier in this, there's another story of an encounter with another rich man that ends sadly, leading us into this story that has a different ending. Because in this story, Zacchaeus, unlike the other rich man, can and does give away. Now, you remember that other story, the rich man who came up to Jesus, "What do I have to do to be saved?" Jesus tells him, and he just can't do it. He says to him, "Give away everything, come follow me." And he goes away sadly. This story is a powerful one for us because the poorest among us, in comparison to the rest of the world, are very, very rich. We cannot listen to this story and think that it's about the chief tax collector in Roman-occupied Israel long time ago. Now, there are two little pieces to this episode in Luke's gospel for us to dwell on. Zacchaeus, in his conversion and in response to the presence of Christ in his life, does way more than anyone might expect or is required. The custom and rules of the day set out very clearly what restitution was required or legally necessary in any case of fraud or robbery. What Zacchaeus does is far in excess of what's required. This is not a man of minimalism. He doesn't do just the bare minimum of what is required of him. That should remind us of the Samaritan who picks up the man on the street after others have passed by. That Samaritan, you know, says to the innkeeper, "Do whatever you can for him." And then the man leaves some money and says, "If there's more, I'll pay you when I come back." You see, he doesn't just drop him off. There is in this story a sense of greater generosity than just the minimal in both stories. To make the point even more powerfully, both stories use people that are despised by others as examples of goodness. A Samaritan and a tax collector. They do more than the minimum. So the question comes, how much more ought we do than these? At the end of this episode, there comes another message from Luke that speaks to us just as clearly as it did to those who first heard this gospel composed by Luke. He tells us that Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Now, for some reason, when we use that word in a religious context, lost, it takes on a meaning never intended. Too often, we think lost in the biblical sense means those who are doomed or condemned. But that's not at all the meaning of the word. When we lose something, it doesn't mean it's destroyed. It means that it's not in its proper place. I remember so clearly as a child crying out to my mother when I couldn't find something like a missing sock or a book or an assignment for school. Her response was always a question. Where did you leave it? Of course, that frustrated me because if I knew where I left it, I wouldn't be asking where it was. But it's the same with people who are lost. And it might well be that we've all been lost from time to time. Being lost doesn't mean we're condemned. It means we're not in the right place. We're lost when we wander from God and found when we take our rightful place in the family of God. So what the church puts before us today is a reminder that if we want to enjoy the companionship of Jesus Christ, we need to be in the right place. And then once we have found that place, the only proper response to the wonder that we've been called to faith by Jesus Christ is a generosity that exceeds everyone's expectations and limitations. The best news today of all with this gospel is that Jesus has come to this house. Let us pray.